keeping an eye on the financial system.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Senate continues to iron out a new roadmap for financial regulation, and there's word this morning of a possible agreement on how to monitor risk to the financial system. That's been one of the main sticking points as lawmakers have tried to come up with a bipartisan plan for regulatory reform. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now live from New York with more. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
So what's the deal here? What's the potential?
Well, according to the New York Times, it would involve putting the Treasury Secretary in charge of a panel that would monitor what's called systemic risk. In other words, the kind of activity at financial institutions that can bring the whole system to a halt if bets go bad. Now, it had been thought that the chairman of the Fed would be in charge of this panel, but it appears lawmakers are more comfortable giving that power to the Treasury Secretary, which may not be a huge surprise given all the heat that the Fed and Ben Bernanke, the current Fed chairman, has taken from Congress over the last few months.
And what's the time frame, Jeremy, for all of this?
Well, there is going to be a possible deal coming Monday when two of the key senators on the banking committee come back from a trip that they're on together to Central America. But this is just a tiny part of this huge financial regulatory overhaul package that the Senate is working on. The House, as you may remember, passed its version of the package. But there are a lot of other issues to be worked out, notably what the head of this council will be able to do if he actually finds something that poses systemic risk. So observers do not expect a final bill on the president's desk for at least several more months.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson with us, reporting from New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's check numbers. European markets pretty much flat right now. In Paris, shares are higher, but in London and Frankfurt, shares are a tad lower. Stocks in Asia closed mixed today. The Hang Seng was off 0.5%, but the Nikkei had a slight gain. Wall Street yesterday, another day of being on the plus side, another day of some relatively good economic news and earnings reports. The S&P and NASDAQ up about 0.5%. The Dow added 40 points to end the day at 10,309. We're expecting a report on oil inventories today, and while crude is still in demand, there's been a leveling off in developed countries like the United States. It's not just the recession. It also has to do with cleaner alternatives. And as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports from the Sustainability Desk, one of those products just got cheaper.
The product is a type of ethanol, not energy-intensive corn ethanol that uses lots of land and water.
The same process that converts corn into ethanol works with biomass, which is just another name for the waste from fields and forests.
Biomass is less energy-intensive, but it has required an expensive enzyme to produce. Now, biotech company Novozymes has developed a cheaper enzyme that can make biomass ethanol for less than $2 a gallon. Cynthia Bryant is with Novozymes.
So really the ultimate goal is to be competitive with gasoline.
Bryant says this new enzyme brings biomass ethanol closer to that goal. Jeremy Martin is with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
In the next few years, when we see the first facilities coming online, that's when the cost effectiveness of this technology will be tested.
And he says that's when we'll see if biomass ethanol shows up at the pump. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
Retail giant Walmart releases quarterly earnings in just a few hours. Analysts expect higher profits over a year ago. And part of that growth can be chalked up to Walmart's strategy of expanding into urban markets. Supporters say Walmart provides urban economies a much-needed boost, but a new study questions that claim. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
Political headwinds against Walmart have been fierce all over the country. In Chicago, Walmart has only gotten a toehold in the city, where it has just one store on the west side. It's late afternoon. The parking lot is about three quarters full. Will Wells is walking out with some lemonade, Hawaiian punch, and underwear.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It has a lot of things that I need, and like I said, it's not that far from my house.
Right down the street, Smokey Lee runs a shop that sells and installs audio equipment. He's pretty happy with Walmart, too.
People buy radio from there and come get installation from here.
So since it's open, you think it's been better?
Yeah, more people, more traffic.
But economics professor David Merriman at the University of Illinois at Chicago says the study he co-authored shows Walmart's opening here has forced small businesses out, and
the net effect is that the number of jobs that were lost by those businesses closing was pretty much a match with the number of jobs that Walmart added when it opened its store. So it was kind of pretty much a wash.
Merriman says that should change the debate for big cities that are thinking of letting Walmart in.
Instead of talking about jobs, whether being for or against Walmart is pro or anti-jobs, what we really should be talking about is what kind of neighborhoods do we want? What kind of development do we want?
For its part, Walmart is contesting the validity of the study. It hired a third-party research firm to review Merriman's findings. The report finds flaws with the original study. Right or wrong, Morningstar analyst Joel Blumer says research like Merriman's might slow Walmart's move into big cities, but won't stop it.
I think in the end, their kind of low price offering will win out. So it happens eventually, it takes longer.
Blumer guesses it's just a matter of time before Walmart shopping bags are as ubiquitous in cities as they are everywhere else. In Chicago, I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, an Oak Creek, Wisconsin man and his iPhone are reunited after someone took it from his unlocked car. What the thief didn't count on was the phone knew its exact coordinates. The gadget's owner subscribed to this service that featured a global positioning system, GPS. The smartphone owner tracked his device, got a picture of the suspect's house, and gave all that to police. After being busted, the suspect confessed to taking other phones from parked cars. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Get the podcast there. And, of course, share your thoughts with us, too. Get the latest business news of the day inside our website, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.